Right now is an extremely tough time financially for a lot of people, and sometimes you need a loan. Check out cashadvance.com. They provide a free service that quickly connects customers with lenders that offer loans that may work for them. Cashadvance.com has no control or knowledge of the loan details between you and your lender. If you're presented with a loan offer, you'll have the option to review the terms of the loan, which you may approve or decline. You can create a free account, look around, and see what cashadvance.com has to offer with no commitment. Get the help you need today. Just click the link in the description to get started. And check out CuriosityStream. They are the award-winning destination for documentary series and features covering every topic from space exploration to adventure. You can satisfy your thirst for knowledge anytime and anywhere with CuriosityStream. The subscriptions start at only $2.99 a month. Just click that little link in the description and sign up today. Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is June Lundgren. Before I bring her on, I have to thank C60 Purple Power, of course. You hear me talk about the extraordinary benefits of C60 all the time. Just go check out their website for yourself, or even listen to the shows that I've done with their chief scientist, Ken Zwartz, to learn more. Click that link in the description. Check out everything you need to know about the benefits. And if you order, you get 10% off plus free shipping. Tonight, I want to welcome June Lundgren. She is a psychic medium, animal communicator, healer, nurse, demon seer, international paranormal investigator, and author with over 40 years of experience in the paranormal field. As a child, she communicated with spirits, animals, and angels. She served in the military, where she trained as a nurse and EMT. After returning from the military, she continued to work in the medical field as a nurse and is currently the founding member of Ghosts and Girls Paranormal.com. June, welcome. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Just got off work a little bit ago.
Oh, well, it's always good to be off work.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. I have been fascinated with the paranormal since a very young age. I used to have my own pretend ghost investigations as a kid. I love paranormal books, movies, and the hidden world in general. Now, you are not only a psychic medium, but a healer, animal communicator, nurse, demon seer, and international paranormal investigator, which is really fascinating. But I think a good place to start tonight would be with some of your earliest childhood experiences, onto some of the more recent experiences and how you got started doing investigations and writing your books.
Well, as a child, the first 5 years of my life, I was raised by my grandmother, who was a psychic medium. And she taught me everything, all the basics that she knew. And she noticed early on that the animals would come up and sit beside me and sleep under my crib and never want to be far from where I was. And she could tell that there was a communication going on, but she's not an animal communicator, so she didn't know what it was. She just, you know, assumed that that's what was happening. And she encouraged it. And so I was raised for the first 5 years to, you know, learn all about the other side and to communicate. For me, you know, I thought that that was normal. I thought everybody could do that. It never occurred to me until I got older that not everybody can do that. But I was helping people with their paranormal things long before any of this paranormal stuff. People would find me by word of mouth, and I would help them with, to talk to their loved ones or to talk to a spirit that was like haunting a building or their home, and, be the go-between between the living and the dead, so to speak, so that they could learn to live together if that was the case, or I would help them to cross into the light. I did that for, years and years. And in 1988, I was in a motorcycle accident. I died. I was clinically dead for 2 minutes. And when I went to the other side, my grandparents were there to meet me, and Michael, the archangel, was there. And I've been seeing him all my life. He's always been with me. So for me, that's nothing. And he said, this is what you're supposed to understand. He said, you need to understand just who and what you are. And I told him, I said, I'm just me. And he says, no, you don't understand. He says, you need to understand who you really are, who your soul is. And so he touched my forehead, and I relived all of these lives in a matter of a moment. And he said, look down at yourself and see who you are. And I looked down, and my body was gone. And I was the same 7 feet tall as he was, with wings, and my hair was like a dark auburn color, and I had greenish eyes. And he said, this is who you are. He says, you're Ariel the Archangel. You're a demon slayer. This is something that you've done in all your lifetimes. You were sent back to relive human lives until you learned to have compassion for mankind. He said, you'd been up here so long that you forgot how to have compassion. And so this is life number 131. And ever since then, it was a lot for me to take in. And I'd never even heard of Ariel. I did a little research, and there's not much known about her other than her name means Lion of God. And she's one of the five that guard the throne of God. But beyond that, most people don't know anything about her. Once I accepted, that this is what I had inside of me, Michael said, we have to merge your consciousness with your soul consciousness so that you can hear what she hears, see what she sees, and vice versa. And I thought, okay. this is a whole nother situation for me. But my grandmother always said, keep an open mind, because there's more things than you know out there. So once the merge was done, I could actively hear her. I could hear what she was thinking. I could hear what she was saying. And it made it much easier to communicate. And that's when he said, you need to start removing demons. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And up until that time, I'd always been able to see them, understand what they were saying, because they speak in the old language of Aramaic. And, I was able to do all that. I watched them. Michael told me as a child that I needed to watch them to see how they worked, because it would come in handy later. And so that's what I did all my growing up time. I never had any interaction with them. It was a matter of just observing them and listening to them. So this really came in handy. My first interaction with a demon where I actually knew I could do something was when my younger brother, he was possessed. And my sister-in-law called and said, his eyes turned black. He growls, it's not him. There's a whole another voice coming out of him. And I told her, I said, okay, I'll come down and I'll wait and see what's going on. So I went down, and Michael told me to park outside of his house. So I parked outside of the house. He said, now get out of the car. He says, I want you to call the demon to you. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? But he's like, just do it. You'll see. And I'm like, you guys are here to protect me, so I'm okay. So I called the demon towards me, and it came through the wall and advanced towards me. It was, it must have been about 5 feet away from me when my consciousness kind of went to the back and Ariel came forward. And she told the demon, you know, don't you know who I am? And the demon's like, no, it can't be, you know. Long story short, she grabbed it by the throat and sent it back down to where it needed to be. And then she went to the back of my consciousness and I came forward. And I told Michael, I said, you guys tricked me. I said, you guys used me as bait. And they start laughing. Both Gabe and him start laughing. And he said, well, you had to understand that you can do this, that you have nothing to fear. And that was many years ago. And so I've been doing it ever since. I don't fear them. I see demons in their pure form. I don't see them as most people do, because most people, they project their image into your mind. So, you know, if you think they're going to look like horns and cloven feet, then that's what you'll see them as. You know, they reach into your mind and get your idea, your picture of what they should look like, and they amplify that in order to scare the heck out of you. But they can't do that with me, because I see them in their true form. They're about 7 feet tall, like the archangels, 12-foot wingspan, and they're solid black. And the face, everything looks beautiful except you get to the face, and the face is like all the evil in the world combined. And for most people, it would be like hard to look at. I've been seeing them for so long, it doesn't bother me. But you know, a lot of people, only two people that I know of have actually asked to see them through my eyes.
Now, that's very interesting.
Both have regretted it.
Yeah, I bet. Now, I want to kind of go over this. A lot of people have different interpretations of what demons are, a lot of misunderstandings, the same right. with angels. Mm-hmm. Based on your experiences and interactions with these entities, basically, you know, what is a demon? Is it just a lower vibrational entity? Is it a spirit of a past human? Was it ever a human, or is it something else? What exactly is a demon? And then we'll talk about angels.
A demon is an inhuman. It's something that's never been able to take a physical form and never will be able to take physical form. Its whole intention is to bring as much pain and suffering to man as it can. They don't care how they do it, but they have ways that that people have no concept of. And when you do encounter one and end up with an attachment, your life goes to hell in a handbasket, every way possible. And they do resonate on a lower vibrational frequency, and they're the lowest vibrational frequency, but they've never had human form. They'll never be able to have human form. They can possess a human, but that's it. You know, that's a demon. There are, you know, the old demons, which are equal to the archangels, the lesser demons, which are equal to like your everyday souls. And then there's the minions, which are the little creepy crawly dudes, and the shadow people, you know, things like that. They're just, the creepy crawlies are just annoying.
And do all these entities exist in just a different type of realm, which you would call a spirit realm or a different dimension? You know, people call it different things.
They exist in a dark dimension. To understand what happened with them and why they are the way they are, you have to, which is part of my new book, you have to go back to a time where before we inhabited this planet, we lived, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago in another physical form and in a different galaxy. And we were very primitive. And that's where what people call God, you know, the great spirit, the great greater consciousness, he found us there and he helped us to move beyond war and strife and disease. And eventually we evolved into pure energy and we traveled as one, you know, the galaxies, wherever we could go. We watched everything, learned everything until there became a great number of us that wanted to be human and wanted to be physical again. And we said, you know, we want to have children. We want to know love, physical love. We want to experience everything again. And there were the opposite ones that were led by Lucifer. And he said, no, we don't want to have anything to do with that. We do not want to be, you know, subject to growing old, to pain, to disease. We don't want to have anything to do with that. And that's what started the war, because they were white light as well. They were good angels at that time. But once the war began, it raged on for what would be thousands of our years. But but on the other side, it would be the equivalent of a day. And once it was over, Michael the Archangel disarmed Lucifer, and Ariel disarmed his son. And God said, I'm going to give you exactly what you want. You're never going to be able to take physical form again. And he opened up a rift. There's no other way to put it. I can see it. It's like a slice in dimensions. And on the other side, it was a dark dimension. So he said, this is where you're going. You and your followers are going to go here. And he sealed it once they were in and put two archangels to guard the rift. But over time, they've managed to find other ways to enter our world. A lot of it has to do with, you know, humans doing things, summoning them, whether it be for a cheap thrill or intentional or by accident. But they can also, they also have the ability to create what I call a dark portal, where they can create an opening into our world. And that's what they do. You know, the younger demons, the lesser demons do that. The older ones were not worth their time and effort most of the time, unless there's something in particular that they want done or something's happening, because they just don't bother with us.
I see. Now, when it comes to the spirits you communicate with and angelic spirits, could you tell us a little bit more about them and help us have a little bit more of an understanding about angels?
Usually, before the war, God created the Legion of Light. And the Legion of Light was comprised of Ariel, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And they were basically the generals, and they trained the other warrior angels and so on and so on. And everyone on the other has a job. You know, if you come back and want to stay, everybody has a job. The archangels are in charge of all of the others, and Michael, like I said, he's been with me since I was a baby, so I'm so used to him. I just don't pay attention most of the time because he's there always, so I don't really. But people have told me, you know, well, you know, I'm sad or I'm in pain, and Michael knows how I feel or Gabriel knows how I feel. And they don't. They don't understand. Humans don't understand that they've been on the other side for so long and haven't been physical for so long that they forget the feeling. They know the emotions, the concept of the emotions, but the feelings elude them. You know, and they just like, you know, oh, you're sad? Okay, I get it, but I don't know what that sadness feels like. I don't know what that pain feels like. you know, whether it be emotional or physical, it's very hard for them. And that's one of the things that Ariel helps the Legion with, because every time she goes back to the other side, every time she dies in the physical world and goes back, she helps them feel the feelings. She helps them experience the feelings of pain, of sadness, of happiness, you know, jealousy, everything, so that they can understand better what the human is going through. And it really has helped them a lot. It's very important for them to understand that not just the concept of the emotion, but the emotion itself. And people don't seem to understand that.
And now, what would you consider earthbound spirits? And, you know, what's the difference between earth? Are they humans that have passed and that are kind of trapped in the earthly realm? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, they're... did I lose you?
I'm still here.
Okay. The spirits that walk the earth, they're humans. They're one of several things. Either they've died suddenly and they don't know they're dead, or they're unfinished business that they have. They want to take care of something. Say somebody killed them and they want to make sure that, you know, the living find out who kills them and makes them pay for it. Or they stay behind because a loved one. They want to be there for them, to watch over them, to be there to greet them when they cross. But they're just humans. And like I said, sometimes they don't even know they're dead. And sometimes they become stuck in the moment of their death, their death state. I was at a graveyard, which I don't usually go to graveyards, but this one spirit was there, and he's like wearing a suit and a tie and carrying a briefcase, and he's got blood flowing, you know, down his face and from his head, and that's how he died. He died in a car accident, and his scalp was lacerated and his neck was broken. So he was still stuck in that death state. And looking like that, I said, you need to move on. I said, you need to get out of your death state. And because he was still stuck in his death state, he was still thinking like he was alive. And he says, I can't. I was cheating on my wife. I committed a sin. I can't go to heaven. I'll be judged. You know, I'll be judged and found wanting. And that's the whole reason he stayed in this death state. And I tried telling him, you don't have to do that. You know, God will forgive you. I said, as long as, you know what's right and wrong and ask him, I said, there won't be a problem. But he wasn't willing at that time to take that chance. There's a lot of spirits end up stuck in their death state. And then you get the ones that have died. And they know they're dead, but they don't want to leave their home or their land or the person. And sometimes if it's a home or a building, they won't see the changing of the years. They will only see it as they saw it when they were alive, even though there's been drastic changes. It's kind of odd. Henry VIII was like that. He was annoying. I was in England at the Hampton Court, and I'm like, really? He opens the door, big wooden door, and then it's like, peers down the hall at me, and he called me a witch. I'm like, bite me, you know, come on.
And he's like, very interesting. Now, these spirits, these earthbound spirits, you said that they could potentially have a chance to leave and move on, right?
Sure, they can. It, a lot of times, the spirits that are earthbound that are in a location, or you could be just driving by and they're there, is because they're looking for somebody to help them. You know, when you first die, you see the light and you go into it. If you don't go into it at that time, the light disappears. So you're trying to find your way back to the light. So you're trying to find someone who can hear you and help you to go into the light, to find their way back into the light. Nine times out of 10, they just want to go home.
Wow, that is fascinating. Now, I want to talk about spiritual or entity attachments. What are some of the ways that this could happen to a person, that they could have a spiritual attachment, and what kinds could they, because could they be earthbound spirits that attach to a person as well as demonic or these, lower vibrational?
Yeah,
entities?
It happens quite a bit, more than you would think. I have people that contact me and the first thing they think is it's negative, or, it's a demon, but about 50% of the time, all it is an earthbound spirit. Now, I just had a case where the man was killed. He was doing a drug deal. He was killed, and he was mad. He was mad because he was killed, the guy that killed him, and he wanted vengeance on the guy that killed him. And he was walking by, this gentleman that had the attachment. He was just walking by a certain building, and, the guy was killed in that same block. And the negative entity, the human said, "That's it. I'm going to attach myself to this guy, and I'm going to influence him to help me find and kill this other person." They think that they can do that. 99.9% of the time they can't. They just end up attaching themselves to the person, and then the person starts experiencing emotions that they wouldn't normally have, rage, they start feeling like somebody's watching them all the time, and things start going downhill for them. They don't know why they're feeling like this, and they're fighting with their significant other. It's all because of the emotional influence of this guy. So they will contact me and say, that I think that I have, a demonic attachment. And if somebody sends me a picture, I can see what's there. So he sent me a picture, and I'm like, no. I said, this is what happened to the guy. This is who he was. And this is how he died. I said, I'll help him to go home. I said, he doesn't want to go home, but he'll go home. He needs to go home. So, because he's causing a lot of strife in this person's life. So I'll make sure that he gets home. But you can be just in the wrong place at the right time. You could go to a haunted location where there's known negative entities, or, you can look like somebody that the dead person knew, and they decide to attach themselves to you, to follow you, to spend time with you. Or it could be like you bought a house and the spirit's attached to the land itself, but they don't see the house there. They only see the land that was there when they were alive, and they don't understand why that somebody is there, and they want to get rid of them. So they'll try everything they can to try to get rid of them. And that's when I have to talk to both of them.
You said you can see the entity from taking a photograph of somebody?
Yeah, I can. People send me a photograph. I can see what's there. I can see if it's a negative, a demonic, or if it's just a person. A lot of times it's just a person. But unfortunately, more times than not, it's a negative. It's a demonic.
And I guess that's also how you would tell if it's not just, a mental illness that a person's having, is from the photograph.
Right. I've had it where, I had a recent case where a woman contacted me and she sent me a picture of her. She says, the ghost is trying to kill me. Those demons are trying to kill me. I said, well, send me a picture, So she sent me a picture. And there was nothing negative there. I told her, I said, it's okay. I said, there's nothing negative there. These are good spirits. Don't worry about it. And you could tell that there was some mental health issues going on there, and I've tried to do it as gently as possible. And she seemed to be accept that and was better.
Now, you had briefly mentioned a few of the reasons that people may get spiritual attachments. Maybe expand on that a little bit. I've heard that, you know, if people, if they're doing, you know, the wrong kind of drugs sometimes, or the type of relationships they're in, or even if they're dabbling in something occult that they shouldn't be, would that be some reasons?
Yeah, I have had people that, you know, think it's cool to summon a demon, or you have these people that are necromongers where they like to gather the souls and not let them cross. They basically hold them hostage and they think that's fun. And I don't tolerate that well. But people will do, you know, satanic rituals, or people will just mess around and just say, you know, I'm going to summon a demon. They see something online or read it in a book, and they do the incantations and the ritual, and then they end up with the demon attached to them. And it's like, ooh, amazing how that happens. And then they call for help. It's like, you know what? If you weren't messing with it in the first place, it wouldn't happen. Like anything, reading tarot cards, reading runes, doing a reading for somebody, doing a paranormal investigation. Everything like that opens a portal. It opens a door to the other side. And I've found over the years that 90% of the people don't understand that when you do anything like this, you open a door, and you really have to close the door. You know, you really do, because if you don't, anything and everything will come through. And that's what happens quite a bit. I had to go down to the Shanghai tunnels and remove demons 3 times because the gentleman that owned it was letting people come into the back side of the tunnels, and they would have seances there. They would do Ouija board. They would all kinds of things. And of course, here comes the demons. They're more than willing to join in the party. So, and they didn't, of course, didn't bother to close the portal. You have to be very, very careful. It's very important that you understand that anything that you do like that opens the door, even a paranormal investigation. But the one of the things I learned when I died and was on the other side is that in their world, whether it be the dark world or the light one, thought becomes reality. And it's the intention behind the thought that gives it power. That's why Michael, the Archangel, he can be in 1,000 places at the same time. A, there's no distance on the other side. And B, it's the thought. Thought gives it power, and he hears them. He hears you, and he'll respond to you. That's why people say, well, you know, Michael was here last night. And I'm like, yeah, he can be in 1,000 places at the same time. I said, the man gets around.
Now, there's a lot of, I guess you could say, different myths about what can be used to protect you from negative entities. Is there anything that you can use that will actually protect you from spiritual attachments if you know you're going into a situation, or you fear that you may have
You know, I have a book I wrote called The Dark Side of the Paranormal. It talks about, you know, what can protect you, what can't protect you, and how to utilize it. The thing is, a lot of people think, you know, if I just carry a cross or I wear a crystal, then it'll be okay. That'll be my protection. But the cross has to have a representation of Jesus on it. That gives it more power than if you just do carry a wooden cross or a gold cross or whatever without the image. And it can't be an abstract image. It has to be a, you know, like likeness, physical likeness. that the power of prayer is very powerful, you know, invoking the name of Jesus and God or Buddha, whoever you believe, whoever your spiritual person is. And you can do what you can do, create a white light force field that will help to keep anything negative from making, from attaching itself to you. It's something that Michael gave me years and years ago. He gave me an exercise. He says, I want you to, you know, give this to people so that they can protect themselves. I mean, it won't, it'll protect you, but a lot of times people forget to put up their shields, and that's when these things will attach. But that will protect you. Power of prayer. You there's a lot of things that can ward them off. You know, pleading the blood of Christ. If you wear, I make a black salt that's unlike any other. I never even heard of black salt until I started removing demons. And God says, listen, you need something to protect the people that are involved in this and their homes. He says, I'm going to give you a recipe for a black salt. I'd never even heard of it. And so he gave me the recipe, and he blesses it at each step of the making of it. And it's never failed in the 40 years I've been using it. So it's really good. I have friends in England, my sister group over there. You know, I have the Ghosts and Girls Paranormal UK. And they wear necklaces filled with black salt when they go on into a location. When they do, the black salt heats up. It becomes hot when it's protecting and in the presence of negatives. So it heats up as it protects you. But there's not a lot. You know, crystals won't help. Somebody said one time, break dust, that won't help. Walking backwards in a circle won't help you. Swearing at them won't help you. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of things people believe, you know, tobacco, sleep with tobacco under your pillow, that'll help. You know, that won't help. There's all kinds of things that people, desperate people, you know, try to use to help themselves. And I get it, because they're desperate. I mean, they have this thing attached to them, and their life is falling apart financially, emotionally, psychologically. I mean, what they do is they isolate the individual, and they can literally torture them physically, mentally, and emotionally. And they do it 24/7. They don't let up. People come to me, they're desperate. They've been putting up with this stuff for years. And it's just devastated them. It's horrible. I mean, I have empathic abilities. But when I deal with the negatives, I have to shut down. I cannot be feeling what these people are feeling, because that makes me vulnerable. I mean, when they're away from me, before I even meet them, I pick up on all these emotions and everything. And I've got to the point where I know, you know, I can feel their emotions and stuff, but I don't take it into myself, because I can't. That makes me vulnerable when dealing with these guys. So I can't be that way. You can't, when you deal with these negatives, you have to have absolute faith in yourself, absolute faith in God, an absolute faith in what you're doing, and that it will work. If you don't have faith in any of those things, even just a small doubt, you're screwed, because you're never going to get rid of them. Never.
Now, you talked about one incident where you helped an individual free themselves of this attachment. How do you generally work with this and help people get themselves free of these evil attachments?
Well, the thing is, it's kind of hard to explain in some ways. Everything I do is done telepathically, and in one way that my soul comes forward And it, I can actually physically see them and physically manipulate them. So I can actually strangle the demon. I can pull it off of the individual and send it back where it needs to go, or in some cases, kill it. It's done all telepathically, because remember, thought becomes reality in their world, and it's very powerful. So she comes forward and does the removal, whether it be distance or in person. I had been doing this for 20 years before I let somebody go with me to do a removal. And people say that my eyes turn white and my voice changes and I look like I'm about 20 years old, and a lot of people see wings coming out of my shoulders when she comes forward. So there are physical manifestations of it, but I have to do it. Most of them I do from a distance because I cannot get to them and they can't get to me. So as long as I have a picture of either the land, the person, the item, then I can do it. I can do the removal. It only takes a matter of minutes.
Now, I'm pretty sure that these entities can cause, harm to people, even physical harm. But could a person even be killed by one of these entities?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can kill you. I mean, I went in on a case in Battleground, Washington, where I was called in because the group that went in the first time told this gentleman, oh, just put these crystals in the four corners of your house and it'll be fine. He had been being attacked, scratched, pulled out of bed, growled, woken up, being growling. He and his wife had moved into the house a couple years prior, and she had never had a moment's sickness in her life, and she was dead within 2 years. She kept telling her husband, I hear these things. I see these things. And he wouldn't believe her. And then when she died, he started experiencing the same thing. So he called this other group in. And when he put down the crystals, the next morning he got up and they were all broken in half. And the next night it started all over again, pulling him out of bed, messing with his mind, holding him down. And so I asked a friend of mine who is the founder of a different group that I work with. I asked him, I said, how would you like to go on a demon removal? And he's like, yeah, he's an ordained minister. So him and his wife came with me, and I knew where the demon was. Whenever I get to a location, I know where it is. So I was headed up the stairs. I was leading the way, and the demon reached into his chest and started squeezing his heart. He thought he was going to have a heart attack right there and then. And it tried to push his wife down the stairs, but I stopped both of them. And so it can do that. I mean, shadow people can suck the life out of you. I mean, literally suck the life out of you. It's not a good thing. They can kill you.
That sounds terrifying. Now, we've talked a little bit about the attachments for people. What about for locations or houses? We know about haunted houses, but can demonic attachments attach themselves to certain locations or buildings,
sure,
or anything like that?
Sure. There's usually a good reason for it. This one I was just telling you about, there was a demon entombed in the ground. I had always heard about locations where, people say, nothing but pain happens here, war, death, it's bad. Nobody should live on this land. Nobody should be here. And that's when I found out, when I took out this demon, he went against Lucifer, and for his trouble, he was entombed in the earth. But what happened was, when they started excavating the land and building these houses, it opened it up. And so he was able to create problems. He was able to come and go as he pleased. He just couldn't return to the dark realm because Lucifer would kill him. So, you know, I went to Alcatraz, did a night investigation a couple of years ago, and there's an old demon entombed in the rock. That's why the place will never, ever be free of demons. I removed the ones that were there at the time, but because there's an old demon there, it'll attract more demons. It's just a never-ending cycle. And unfortunately, they'll attach themselves to anything. They'll attach themselves to an object. They'll attach themselves to a piece of land, a river, even a watch. You know, they'll attach themselves to anything to try to create problems. And it's kind of scary for people, because they'll go to an antique shop, something like that, and something will appeal to them and they'll buy it. And sometimes when they come home with more than just the piece. Either there's a human spirit that's attached, and it's not always bad. I mean, there's some good ones, but you know, if you get the wrong one, you're going to have fun trying to get rid of it. You can like put it in a bag and surround it with black salt, and that will kind of bind it there. But who wants to live with that? You know, it's just, I had someone that contacted me. He does flips houses in the Midwest. And he said that he had found a book. He were flipping this house, and the house had been in a fire, but the floor surrounding where they found the object was pristine. And they couldn't understand why that part didn't, why didn't this burn? And they pulled up the boards, and here's this book wrapped in a dark cloth. And they pulled it out of there. It says it took two of them to lift the book out of there. It was big and heavy. And they made the mistake of opening the cloth and opening the book. The book was, the minute he told me what he did, I could see what it was. I said, you opened that book, didn't you? And he's like, yeah. I said, and the trouble started, didn't it? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, that book was stolen from the Vatican. And in the 13th century, it was created. It was a book of demons and how their names, their date of inceptions, and how to call them up. And I told him, I said, you know what? That was stolen. I said, a long time ago. I said, if I was you, I'd take it. I'd wrap it in something with holy water, and I would call the Vatican and say, hey, this is a book I think you guys want. They will send somebody personally to get that book. I said, because that book should never be out of the church's sight. No. So I asked him, I said, you're going to do that? He said, yeah, I'm going to do that. Because bad things started happening right away.
And very interesting. I've heard of a lot of people that have had either books or different items or artifacts that they brought to their house. And then after that, things just started going way downhill for them and experiencing strange events. And they eventually would have to get rid of that item or
book. Yeah, you have to, or get somebody who knows how to remove the bot. What happens is somebody in their infinite stupidity will bind a demon to an object. A lot of, because you know, a demon won't normally stay with an object, you know, because it's boring for one. For another, it's not, they don't like to do that. But if you bind that demon to it, it's forced to stay with that object, and they get pissed about that. And so when, like the debit box, if you bind a demon to it, that demon's going to be pissed. And what people don't understand is you can set that object in the middle of a park and for miles around, the influence of that demon that's bound to the box will take hold. It will cause all kinds of problems. Just because you bind the demon to the object doesn't mean that it can't reach out. It just means it can't escape.
Wow, that is very interesting, how these entities can be bound to objects. I want to talk a little bit now about the, I guess, the hierarchy in some of these realms. There must be some sort of hierarchy in both the higher and lower realms. Could you talk a little bit about that, if there is, you know, a hierarchy?
There's a hierarchy. A lot of people don't understand that there's a hierarchy in heaven as well as hell. I mean, in the dark realm, the Lucifer is quote unquote king, and then he has like first and second in command, and then there are the old demons. They're the ones that were the first to evolve, and they're intelligent and very capable, but they don't waste their time 99.9% of the time with humans. And the next step down is the lesser demons. I equate those to hormonal teenagers running rampant and doing whatever they want, whatever's fun. They don't like to and don't want to answer to the old demons. They know they have to, but for the most part, they try to avoid dealing with the old demons at all. And if something happens and they have to go before them, they know that they have to answer for what they've done. And then there are the minions, which are, you get the little creepy crawly dudes. They're kind of, they can look like spiders. They can look like spaghetti. They can look like whatever they want to look like. And they kind of creep around and they do the legwork to find people for the lesser demons to attach themselves to. And then there are like there's the succubus, the incubus, there's the shadow people. These are all minions of a type. And they're kind of like low man on the totem pole. Shadow people like their own territory. They don't travel in packs. Demons always travel in packs. You never find just one of them. There's no such thing. If they're like the little creepy crawly dudes are kind of like a shark with a pilot fish. The creepy crawlies are the pilot fish and the shark is the demon. And they look for people that they can influence, people that would make a good target. You know, they look for people with substance abuse, low confidence, low self-esteem, people that come from an abusive situation or are in an abusive situation, people whose faith is in the toilet. And so that they look for all of these things before they pick a target. And they'll stalk them. They'll stalk the person because they've got all the time in the world. They'll like wait and they'll watch and look for your weaknesses. They'll look for your strengths. They'll look to see how your faith is. They'll look and see if you're easily manipulated, if you're easily led, if you hunger for power or money or want revenge on somebody. All these things they look for before they pick someone. A lot of times they say, oh, forget it. This one's not worth my time, and move on. But, you know, unfortunately, they attach themselves too frequently to people. And it's only gotten worse. You know, and in 2013, I talked to God. God was saying to me, you know, things are going to start picking up. There's going to start being more and more problems with there's going to be an increase in paranormal activity, an increase in violence, and an increase in substance abuse and mental health issues, emotional issues. And sure enough, starting September of 2013, I saw the escalation of this, and my, you know, my business, so to speak, picked up. And the Vatican, even in 2018, January 25th issue of Newsweek, the Vatican went on record saying, you know, we are having to train exorcists by the gross because the possession cases are tripling. It's just, I mean, the Vatican never says that. They never talk about it. So for them to say something, that's something. Because they don't normally talk about things like that and admit it.
Now, but why do you think that it would be picking up like this?
There's unfortunately some negatives. There are, the way to explain it is there are more negative entities trying to make it into the world right now. And they're having an easy time of it because there's more, if you stop and think about it, look at all the portals that are being opened, you know, people with doing paranormal investigations, people, you know, doing research on the paranormal, people, you know, trying to create portals themselves or bring negative entities into the world. The more people are trying, we're getting away from faith-based and moving to a science-based. And that suits the negatives just fine because they figure if you haven't got the faith, then you're easy target. And it's just, I've just seen the inclination towards it. And it's, I've been doing this for 40 years. And since 2013, it's just become crazy. At one point, I was doing 21 removals a week. And it was just, it's just outrageous. And it's,
now,
it's
with
not
that
slowing down any.
With that being said, what are your thoughts on, you know, some of the higher realm beings like the angels? Are they, I guess, going to try and help with this? Are they leaving it up to us with free will? Would they step in to try and prevent this? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, they're already helping. They've been helping for the last 70 years. They've been helping. People don't know it. People don't realize it. But right now in the world today, there are 8 archangels in physical bodies that are reborn. I have met and interacted with all but one. And each time, part of my job is to help them understand who and what resides within them and for them to be able to make that connection. He sent them down to help mankind. And there are thousands of warrior angels being reborn into the world as light workers, what you would call a light worker. And each one, in turn, creates a chain of light workers to spread the word and to help people that are afflicted by the dark ones. It's kind of like a ghost-to-ghost relay. I have, you know, I'm only one person, but if you have one person create, you know, I think in my lifetime, I have helped to create and helped people to find their way. I've created about 300 or 400 people that are able now to help others with this sort of affliction. They will tell them, you know, they'll come to them, they'll show them what to do, how to help themselves, and what the problem is. And they in turn will help someone else. Every person I help, my payment for doing a removal or helping them understand what's going on with them is for them to pass it on, help someone else, and you know, just help someone who needs it. Pay it forward, because that way more light spreads through the world.
Now, it's very interesting that you said, you know, there's an uptick of these entities since around 2013. When you look at this year alone, that everything that's happening and everything around the world, all the fear that's being spread around, I've spoken to many people about this. There's a big consensus that something big is happening on our planet and we're going through some kind of shift. I know many people are going through this new awakening process, becoming more spiritual, having more spiritual experiences, paranormal experiences. There does seem to be an uptick in this phenomenon lately, and it's coinciding with a lot of turmoil and strange things going on around the planet. Do you think that this is building up to something big that we're going to see in the near future?
Now, there's already, I'm aware of, whenever the demons start what they call a what I would call a super dark portal, where it's huge, they will take time and build it, and this portal will be very, very powerful. It will allow more demons to come into the physical world, and if it's left unchecked, it'll be even worse than it is now. And I removed one in Vegas. I closed one in Vegas. I just got through closing one in Chicago last weekend. And I know, I can feel that there are others that are being created. I just kind of, I can like feel it. Don't ask me. I just know where they are. And usually what happens is, somebody will contact me and say, you know, there's some weird stuff going on. And it's like, okay, bingo. Send me a picture, will you?
Right.
And then I'll take care of it. But, you know, I have me and the boys and I take care of it, the Legion of Light and the Warriors. This last one was really a powerful one. So it required not only the Legion, but a couple of the regiments of the Warriors as well, because we had to protect the people as well as do the removal and to close the portal.
Wow. Yeah, we're definitely living in very interesting and fascinating times, to say the least. June, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. Before you head out, if the audience is interested in finding out more about your books and your work, your website is mysticconnections.org, right?
Right, or demonseer.com.
Okay, and that's the best place that they can pick
up.
Yeah,
they
can.
Yeah, they can contact me. They can get the books on Amazon or Smashwords. I have a new one coming out at the end of this year called Demon Seer: The Beginning, and the book was finished last year, but then I realized that I wrote the book for people that know something about the paranormal, and then I realized that there's so many people that come to me that don't have a clue and don't know, you know, what's happening to them. So I'm revamping the book so that it is told in a simpler manner so that everybody can understand. I defined what a demon is, you know, why they would bother us, you know, negative awareness. I want to bring awareness to people about what's going on and they don't even know it. So this is what this book is all about, and I have really good chapters in there. My two really good chapters that the book cannot do without is protection. One on protection, and the other one is where to get help. I have had like Keith Johnson and his brother. I have contacted them, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll help. Put our names in there. We'll help people." You know, the Archbishop of the Order of Exorcists of St. Michael, the Archangel out of LA, you know, Father Bob Doyle. I have a lot of people that I put the information in there to get help, where to get help, because people don't know where to get help.
Right. And that's why I love having guests like yourself on. It gives people new insights and information on this phenomena. June, thanks once again for coming on tonight, and have a great rest of your evening. And for everyone else, until next time, have a great night.